Nobody likes to wait, and it's only gotten worse. In this day and age when we can get just about anything on demand, if we want to watch a movie, we go rent it on iTunes, we go watch it on Netflix. If we want to get something, we just get on Amazon.com, and we can have just about anything that same day without even leaving our house. We just pop some food in the microwave and voila, it's done. Nobody likes to wait, and it's only gotten worse. In this evening meditation, we learn from Abraham and God's Word how to wait on God to keep His promises, no matter how long it may take. We take a hot air balloon ride over Abraham's life and see how God helped through his long wait. You're listening to a podcast by Nate Borman at Abiding Faith Lutheran Church. You can get more audio visual content or learn more about Abiding Faith on our website, my242church.com. Thanks for listening in. We're glad you're here. God in heaven, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for the promises of your word. We thank you for the history of your people, which show that you, God, are a faithful God who speaks a promise and then keeps a promise and doesn't abandon your people along the way. You are not a man that you should lie, nor a son of man that you should change your mind. No, God, when you speak and you fulfill, when you promise, you carry it out. God, fill our hearts with hope, filled from your promises, an expectation that knows that we will not be disappointed. Lord God, sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know this. I'm not going to tell you anything you don't know, but nobody likes to wait, and I think you might agree that it's only getting worse. Technology has made it so that if you want to watch a movie, get on iTunes and rent a movie, or pop onto Netflix and watch a movie. If you want to get something from the store, sometimes if you pay the right amount of money and you contact the right vendor, namely Amazon, you can get stuff same day without even leaving your house. You can go grocery shopping, get it same day without even walking out of the front door of your house. Life, it's beautiful, isn't it? The conveniences of all these things from, we can debate this, can't we? The conveniences of all this, the instant, immediate gratification, it's made it so that I think maybe people have always been impatient, not wanting to wait. But it's made it so that maybe that's getting a little bit worse. Although I don't know. It depends on the promises you're waiting for. Think about Adam and Eve. When God spoke to them in the Garden of Eden, remember Genesis 3? I will put, and God said, after he confronted them, he said, I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, you will strike his heel. And that was the promise of a Savior. The seed of Eve was going to be the Savior. And Adam and Eve, they were like, we're not waiting. Some people think, you read Genesis 4, some people think, Luther thinks this, that in Genesis 4, when Eve says, I have begotten a man, he thinks that she said, I have begotten a man, the Lord. In other words, she thought that her first offspring was the promised Savior. That's how great her expectation was, that the Savior was going to come. That's how much she trusted the promises of God. Over throughout Advent, I know I've told you this already, but throughout Advent we're going to be looking at the story of Abraham. And Abraham, you know this too, is a great-great-grandpa of Jesus. He's one of the big guys through whom God promised, I'm going to send my son. And actually, Jesus says Abraham believed the promise too. In John 8, when Jesus is talking to the Jews about Abraham and about faith and about who Jesus was, he looked at him, he says, before Abraham, your father, saw this day and was glad. And Abraham's 2,000 years or more before this. And yet one of the things that we're going to look at tonight is that the middle promise between from Abraham to Jesus, the middle promise of Isaac. You think Abraham to Jesus was a long time. Now just think about this in human terms. Abraham to Isaac. Abraham had to wait 25 years. And think this through, that if Abraham doesn't have Isaac, or if Isaac gets sacrificed and dies, now all of a sudden the long-range plan, the long-range promise falls flat too. So just follow me in Abraham's story a little bit. I'm going to tell you the story a little bit. So Abraham's family, if you look at Acts chapter 7, Genesis chapter 11, Abraham's family, actually, his story starts in Ur. God came to Abraham and his family in Ur, way down here in Babylon. And he said, I want you to move. And so they moved up to Haran. This, by the way, that's probably about 500 miles. So they get to Haran, and then in Haran, that's when Genesis 12 happens. That's what we read tonight. This is what God said to them in Genesis chapter 12. The Lord had said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. It's that last line where the promise of Jesus is. Through you, through your seed, the blessing of a Savior will come. All nations on earth will be blessed through you. And so Abraham, what does he do? He packs up from Haran. He doesn't know where he's going. He just says, come. God says, come and go over to the place I'll show you. And so they travel again, probably a couple hundred miles, 500 miles-ish. And they go down to the land of Canaan. By the way, just to get this in a perspective, so you kind of know how big and how small things are, this little dot right there, that's the Sea of Galilee, where Jesus walks on water, where Jesus does a lot of his ministry. There's the Dead Sea. Abraham and his family come down to Canaan. They're in this region of the land a lot. But this is where they just start to wait, you know? They're living in tents. God said to Abraham, this is going to be your land, but do you know, and I know I say this all the time, but Abraham never owned land. God said, this is going to be your land, but did Abraham ever have a deed? He had a place to bury his wife that was his. Yay! He didn't have land. And during that time, what does he do? He's making a trip to Egypt and back. He's fighting some battles for his nephew Lot. It's back and forth. Abraham is a nomad in a tent. And what you see, I'll encourage you, just read this or listen to this on YouVersion or Bible Gateway. Just listen to the story and get the big picture. You just think this through. Waiting is hard. It's even scary. Just in a small way, let's just say you're planning to meet someone for lunch or breakfast somewhere and they don't make it. Or that you're supposed to be there at 9:30 and it's 9:35. I'm like, well, okay, maybe they're running late traffic. And then it's 9:40. And then it's 10 o'clock and you give them a call. And everybody has a cell phone, or at least a lot of people do, and they don't answer. And then, oh, right? And thoughts start to go, and then you start to figure out, where am I going to find him? What am I going to do? Abraham, remember this? Abraham goes down to Egypt, no heir yet. Pharaoh looks at his wife and says, she's pretty. Abraham says, oh no, he might kill me, and says, that's my sister, which was at least a half-truth, because she was a half-sister, but she was also his wife. And that wasn't the only time. Remember, Abraham goes to Egypt. God saves him and saves his wife, and they go back to the land of Canaan. And they go there, and again, a little bit later on, Genesis 20 now, what does Abraham do? It's the same story. Not different king, different place. Abimelech, king of Gerar, he's in the land of Canaan somewhere, and he's the same story. Oh, she's pretty. You might kill me. She's my sister. Same story. And it wasn't just that Abraham was scared there. It wasn't just that. It was Abraham and his wife Sarah were also scared, because how is this promise of an heir going to happen? Right? Because now Abraham, the call, when Abraham is way over here in Haran, he's 75. And his wife is 65. And how are you at 75 and 65 going to have kids? After all these, you know, it might be one thing if you've been having kids all the way along, but now all of a sudden, after years and years and years and years and years of being barren, now all of a sudden you're going to have a kid. And then time passes, and Abraham starts to think, well, maybe God meant somebody who's my legal heir. So Eliezer is one of his servants. And God says, because Abraham's getting scared, now we've got to figure this out. No, not Eliezer. And his wife, little bit later on, good wife, right? She says, hey, how about my maidservant? Have a kid with her, and that's how we'll do this with Ishmael. No, not that way either. Because waiting is scary. And I don't know about you, but waiting is exhausting too. I don't know how you feel when you're waiting. Callie, you're waiting for a grandbaby. Right? I mean, that's kind of exciting. But as the time gets closer and you're just waiting for the phone call, right? Or maybe you're waiting at the hospital. I remember when Madeline was born, we were at the hospital for like 30 hours. It was awful. We love you, Madeline. But the wait was just exhausting. So you're so excited for this to happen, and it seems like it never comes. And same thing for the people of God. You know what, as we wait for Jesus to come back, do you know what some people think? And sometimes it's easy for us to think. The people that Peter writes to in 2 Peter, he says, where is his coming that Jesus has been talking about all these years? It's been 30 years. He said soon, like a thief in the night, some thief, maybe he's not coming. And when Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, some of them were afraid. Some of my family members who believed in Jesus died. Are they going to miss out? They're scared. And do you ever get tired as you wait for Jesus? The moment we were born, what did your parents, if your parents were Christian, what did they tell you? Jesus is coming back anytime. Right? It's been a lifetime of waiting. And as Christians, what happens? We tend to get tired. You know, this race of faith we talk about, it's hard. It's worse than a marathon. It's like an ultra. I love marathons, but it's worse than a marathon. It's like an ultra marathon. And then what do they call it when it's a century? When it's 100 miles? It's a long distance, right? It's tiring. And you know from the story of Abraham that he has these great moments and these woeful moments. But what I want you to see tonight is that Abraham does his best when he waits and worships. Just look with me in verses 7 and 8 of the text again. This is right after Abraham, God makes the promise, Abraham travels to the land of Canaan, and this is what happens. Verse 7, the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring I will give this land. So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he went on toward the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. Here it is again. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. But it's not just that Abraham sets up altars and worships. It's also that in those moments when Abraham calls on the name of the Lord, this is prayer and also preaching, calling on the name of the Lord here. When Abraham does this, there's also something else going on. There's also God coming to Abraham. So worship happens. Here's the next one. Worship is inspired by the presence and promise of God. Because did you notice this in Genesis 12? Who was there? The Lord came to Abram and said, to your descendants I will give this land. So God comes himself and God repeats the promise. A little bit later on, when Abram and Lot divide up the land, God comes to Abram again and he says, your descendants will be as numerous as the dust of the sea, of the sand of the sea. And to your descendants I will give this land. And again, this is Genesis 13 now. Abram built an altar and called on the name of the Lord. And later on, God, this is when Abram suggests to God, maybe it's Eliezer, but there's God again saying, Abram, Your descendants will be as numerous as the stars in the sky. A seed, not Eliezer, a seed, a son from your own body. Again, who's there? God shows up, and God speaks a promise to remind Abram of the thing for which he was waiting. A little bit later on, again, it's the same story again and again and again throughout Abram's life. As Abram waits, when Abram does much better, when his waiting is connected with worship, when God comes and speaks to him promises. And for us too, this, I put this at the very top, but waiting, as we wait for Jesus, waiting and worship belong together. We're running this race of faith. We're waiting for Jesus to come back. Who knows? It might be tonight. It might be 5 years from. Who knows? But as we wait, it's good for us to worship. It's good for us because what happens? We get tired. We get scared. We get distracted. I mean, those promises of God that at one point are at the front of our mind, on the top of our hearts, where do they go? They start to go to the back of our mind and the bottom of our hearts, and we'd let other things rise to the top and other things come to the front. And so what do we need? That's why we come to worship, both here at church, and I'm going to keep saying this, at home too, to keep in God's word. Set up a family altar. You don't have to do this. Family altar, I mean, just gather around God's word. Read it. Sing it. Because when you do, this is God's promise. When we gather like that around his word, what is God's promise? God is there with his presence. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am I. And his promises. Because what is his word full of? Promises. Promises of forgiveness. Promises that I will never leave you or forsake you. Promises that I am coming. It might seem like I'm not. It might seem like it's a long way off. But trust me, Jesus says, I'm coming. I'm coming soon, like a thief in the night. Don't be caught by surprise. Promises that he'll never leave us or forsake us. Promises that he'll protect us. Promise that he'll guard us and keep us. So I can't think of a better place for us to be than gathered around God's word, whether here at church or at home. Where God comes to us and speaks to us and reminds us of all his promises. It's a good place to be, huh? Amen. Let's pray. We'll join in Luther's evening prayer, but we'll pray some other prayers too first. God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time of devotion and worship around your word. We thank you for being with us. We thank you, God, that you have not left us, that you have not taken your word from us. God, the worst thing that you could ever do to us would be to take your word away from us. God, don't ever do that. Don't ever take your word away from us. Keep coming to us with your word. Keep sending your word to us through people in our lives, through our own time reading and studying it and meditating on it. Keep coming. Keep sending your spirit to us that we might stand until the very end and receive from you the crown of life. Lord Jesus, keep us in the faith, keep us faithful, keep us waiting as you did for Abraham. Lord God, hear us as we also join together to pray. I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have graciously kept me this day. Forgive me all my sins and graciously keep me this night. Into your hands I commend my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the wicked foe may have no power over me.